Hey there, creeps and freaks, it's your ghost host with the most, Dr. Golula, slicing through the airwaves and into your spine-chilled souls. Get ready to bay at the moon because tonight, right here on the Horror Report, we're gonna dig our claws into some moonlit madness as we count down the 10 best werewolf movies of all time. Before we sink our teeth into the meat of tonight's show, let's take a little midnight stroll down memory lane, shall we? The history of werewolf movies is a long and blood-soaked path that takes us all the way back to the silent film era. But the real game-changer came in 1941, with a growling, prowling beast of a film called The Wolfman. This beastly hit introduced moviegoers to Lon Chaney Jr.'s tragic tale of lycanthropy, laying the full moonlit foundation for the creature's reign in cinematic history. Werewolves, or lycanthropes, are a metaphor for our untamed nature, the primal instinct within man that begs to break free from societal chains, and no shit, they've been scaring the living hell out of us ever since. From the dark, moody transformation scenes to the gut-ripping terror of a full-blown war-rampage, these movies hold up a mirror to our innermost fears and desires. Werewolf myths have clawed their way out of folktales and onto celluloid, giving us a blend of horror, sex, and wild, uncontrolled power. Don't confuse this beast with your run-of-the-mill horror movie monster. The werewolf is a tragic figure, cursed by forces beyond their control, damned to a cycle of death and rebirth by the light of the motherfucking moon. And yet we root for the beast, don't we? Maybe cause there's a piece of that monster in all of us, struggling against the leash of civility. Over the years, werewolf movies have shape-shifted along with the times. We've seen the genre ebb and flow like the tides controlled by our lunar compatriot. The 80s brought us a gnarly wave of werewolf flicks that blended guts and glory with kick-ass effects and a scent of satire. With each film, the filmmakers flipped the script, sometimes it's a makeover, sometimes a total transformation. And every movie buffs out there will tell you, the bar for the best werewolf flick is set way the fuck high by the mastery of special effects and a perfect blend of fear and fun. So on tonight's show, we're not just howling at the classics, we're also sniffing around some fresh kills and recent revivals of this hair-raising genre. We've got horror, we've got comedy, and we've sure as hell got some of the slickest, sickest transformation sequences ever conjured up by the dark arts of movie making. Some of these films took the werewolf myth and ran wild across the moors of our imaginations, others hid in plain sight, stalking the urban jungle, ready to pounce with all the ferocity of nature's perfect predator. Whether you're a horror hound or just someone who likes a little silver bullet with their popcorn, you've got to respect the art, the craft, and the sheer badassery of the werewolf movie. It's a genre that refuses to lie down and play dead, instead constantly redefining itself, morphing into new and exciting forms while keeping that ancient, feral heartbeat at its core. So buckle up, listeners, because it's going to be a fur-flying, fang-flashing foray through the best that the silver screen has to offer in lycanthropic lunacy. From tortured souls to furry fury, you're in for one hell of a hairy ride. And remember, this countdown isn't just about who's got the sharpest claws or the most splatter-tastic transformations. It's about the stories that make us feel alive, that remind us there's a little bit of monster in us all. What a time to be undead, my ghastly gang. Now, without further ado, let's unleash the beast as I give you the rundown of the creepiest, the crawliest, and the most viciously vivacious werewolf movies ever to rip through the silver screen. Prepare yourself as we begin our blood-curdling countdown. Stay tuned, hold onto your wolfsbane, and keep that silver handy, in case things get a little too real, because here on the Horror Report, we're all about that howl-worthy horror greatness. It's a full moon fever, baby, and the night is just getting started. Alright, horror hounds, cinching up the number 10 spot on our beastly list is a fresh off the kennel hit that reimagines the wolfy trope with a wicked sense of humor. Werewolves Within is a horror comedy hybrid, that's fucking right, a whodunit that digs its claws into the age-old werewolf legend and comes out with something devilishly entertaining and engagingly innovative. Released in 2021, this movie doesn't just throw a couple of jump scares and call it a night. Oh no, it's a balls-to-the-wall rampage of laughs and scares, wrapped up in a murder mystery that'll have you guessing till the last fucking growl. Directed by Josh Rubin, and based on the video game by Ubisoft, the film takes a deliciously dark turn as residents of a small, snowy town get more than they bargain for when a werewolf lets loose on their quiet life. The setting, Beaverfield, a town so remote you'd need a shit ton of GPS just to find your own ass. But this isn't just about setting the mood with the expected eerie backdrops. The small-town charm is a perfect breeding ground for the terrific blend of eccentric characters, all penned by screenwriter Mishna Wolf. Yes, Wolf, no fucking joke, it's like she was born to script this shit. How do you know you've struck gold with a werewolf who done fucking bit you tail? When you've got a cast that takes all those well-loved cliches and turns them into ass-kickingly good fun. Sam Richardson plays Finn, the park ranger with a heart of gold and a spine, well, made of something squishier. He's your quintessential nice guy. Too bad for him, nice is just another word for hors d'oeuvres in werewolf language. And let's not forget about Milana Vayntrub, that's the AT&T girl for you uncultured pups, who's absolutely magnetic as the postal worker who's got more than mail in her sack. Together, they unravel the mystery while calling out some of the most bullshit societal norms in the funniest ways possible. Fuck subtlety, the movie says, as it slathers on the horror comedy elements without skimping on either. The humor is as biting as the creature itself, but don't let that fool you into thinking the horror is a throwaway. Just when you're wiping tears from your eyes, you're hit with suspense and dread that's mixed in like a well-made Bloody Mary, spicy, surprising, and packed with a punch. Now, to the whodunit part, a whodunit in a werewolf movie. That's like finding out there's no hairs in your soup, pleasantly surprising and intriguing. But what really makes this movie the tits is the way it dissects our own reality, using humor and satire as scalpels. It makes you think while tickling your funny bone hard enough to make that shit wiggle for days. The writing, sharper than a werewolf's canines. Wolf plays with tropes and embraces the concept of the hidden beast inside us all. It's a fucking tot who's got the sharp teeth guessing game that'll keep you glued to the screen and loving the suspenseful, quirky ride. Special effects, they gave us just enough of the hairy goods to make us salivate without overdoing it. There's a fine line between cheesy and chic when it comes to creature effects, and this flick moonwalks that shit with panache. They've got the transformation stuff down, along with a few other visual surprises that pack the right amount of gore without turning it into an abattoir on film. So why does this furry fuck fest open our top 10? Because it's a hell of a howler and a fresh kill in a genre that often gets buried under cliches and repetitive plots. Werewolves Within respects the classics, licks the comedy chops, and still delivers the gory goods. It's everything you want in a horror comedy. It's got teeth, it's got balls, and it has no motherfucking problem biting off a piece and asking you to chew along. And that, my creepy cohorts, is why Werewolves Within more than deserves to sharpen its claws at the start of our top 10 werewolf movies. It's a purebred of a good time, no silver bullet required. Alright motherfuckers, let's talk about The Wolf of Snow Hollow, that slick, dark comedic gem that sinks its teeth into the number 9 spot on our shit-kicking list of top werewolf movies. This is not your granddaddy's werewolf flick, it's a fucking curveball filled with howls and homicide. Director and lead actor Jim Cummings brings a film that's part Coen Brothers, part creature feature, and he makes damn sure it bites with the ferocity of a pissed-off lycanthrope. First off, let's talk about the ballsy blend of horror and comedy here. The terror is real, the gore is in your face, and the laughs. Dark as the night a werewolf prowls through. Cummings plays Officer John Marshall, a man desperate to keep his shit together while his small town spirals into a bloodbath. He juggles being a father, a son to a stubborn sheriff battling his own health crisis, and let's not forget, dealing with fucking werewolf killings. The Wolf of Snow Hollow rips open the tired werewolf tropes and stitches up something fresh as a silver bullet wound. Marshall's not grappling with becoming a werewolf, he's battling the idea that there's something supernatural fucking up his snow-blanketed town. The realism and denial make it all the more unnerving, because deep down, who doesn't love to toy with the idea that some crazy, unexplained shit could be real? Especially in a quaint little town where everyone knows your goddamn business. And let's give a hell yeah to Ricky Lindholm, who delivers one hell of a performance as Officer Julia Robson. She's the straight player to Cummings' near-meltdown cop, a beacon of sanity amidst the insanity that's unraveling. The dynamic between them is like bloody meat to a hungry wolf, absolutely killer. But the wittiness ain't all we're snarling at here. The moments of silence, the tension that builds like an itch you can't scratch unless you take a chunk of skin off, that's what makes the narrative a fresh kill. Every murder hits you with the brute force of terror. Bodies mutilated, innards strewn, a fucking grisly sight. The killings aren't brushed off as mere slashes, each is a piece of the puzzle that Cummings meticulously crafts with his tale-telling prowess. And speaking of kills, let's talk transformation. No, you're not getting the prolonged, bone-snapping scenes of old classic werewolf movies, but you get something almost crueler, a mind-bending, grinding fear as reality warps into something animalistic. The minimalist approach makes you itch for that transformation, and when it hits, holy shit, it's like the full moon just bitch slapped your senses. Now let's dig our claws into the writing and direction. Cummings isn't just slinging cliches around like chew toys. This motherfucker writes dialogue that snaps and crackles like bones in a beast's maw. And the direction, camera work that lunges at you like a wolf leaping for the jugular. It's that balance of humor and horror that keeps the pace snappy as a trap, leaving you never quite sure when to laugh or when to look over your shoulder, expecting a furry beast ready to turn your insides out. You might be thinking, what about the effects? This better not look like some shitty B-movie crap. Well, fear not, because while CGI is the go-to nowadays, The Wolf of Snow Hollow sticks true to practical effects, giving us an authentic, in-your-face werewolf that would rip a CGI abomination a new asshole. What's ingenious about this piece of werewolf cinema is how it fucks with your expectations. You come in craving the carnage, the beastly transformation, but Cummings plays you like a fiddle. He deals out doses of dread, hits of humor, and an honest picture of personal demons. It's not just about the werewolf, it's about the monsters we carry with us, the fucked up baggage that weighs us down as we howl at the expectations life throws our way. It's this shredding of formula, the transformative hybridization, that commands this film into the unique place it holds in werewolf cinema. It doesn't just howl, it speaks to the screwed up comedy that is life. Sometimes you're the human, sometimes you're the beast, and sometimes, well, you're just fucked. So, crack open a beer, settle in, and let The Wolf of Snow Hollow take you on a fucked up frolic through the snowy woods of werewolf lore. It's slick, it's sick, and it sure as hell earns its spot on our list. This is one for the freaks who like their horror with a hefty slap of sarcasm, and for those looking for a werewolf that doesn't play by the fucking ancient rules. Alright, horror hounds, let's sink our teeth into number 8 on our grisly list. Ginger Snaps, the 2000 Canadian horror movie that's as sharp as a werewolf's fangs and twice as biting. It's the cinematic equivalent of a full moon lighting up the dark sky of teen angst, illuminating and transforming it into something wild, visceral, and dangerous. Ginger Snaps isn't just your average creature feature. It's a subversive gem that sinks its claws into the ups and downs of growing up and the horror of becoming a woman. When we meet the Fitzgerald sisters, Ginger and Bridget, they're the fringe's darlings, dark, gothic, and obsessed with death. They're the outcasts in a suburban hell, navigating the bullshit of high school life. Director John Fawcett and screenwriter Karen Walton must have made a fucking pact with the devil to deliver a story this fresh. The genius of Ginger Snaps lies not in its scares or its blood, which are both top fucking notch by the way, but in how it uses the werewolf curse as a metaphor for puberty. Ginger's transformation into a werewolf runs parallel to the hormonal tornado that is adolescence. Pimples, tri-sprouting hair in weird-ass places, and a bloodthirst for the neighbor's pets. The werewolf mythos here gets a fresh coat of blood. The performances, utterly badass, with Catherine Isabel portraying Ginger as someone you don't wanna fuck with, navigating through her metamorphosis with a mix of visceral fear and ravenous glee. Then there's Emily Perkins as Bridget, the introverted sister tangled in Ginger's shadow, who's both petrified and fascinated by her sister's ghastly new attributes. Their chemistry is as real as the blood and guts strewn across their suburban hellhole. Visually, the movie doesn't pussyfoot around. Every transformation, every bout of violence feels raw and rough around the edges, matching the teenage anguish that propels our protagonists. It's a motherfuck of a monster movie that doesn't skimp on the gore or the terror, but the real horror here is the erratic, uncontrollable nature of adolescence. It's bloody and it's fucking relentless. Credit is due to the late, great special effects artist Todd Masters, who brings a level of practical effects wizardry to Ginger's transformation that makes CGI look like child's play. The physicality of it, that scene in the high school bathroom, Jesus Christ, feels so real, you can almost smell the metallic tang of blood in the air. This isn't just another throwaway horror flick on the shelf, it's a gnawing, visceral piece of cinema with a set of balls. The direction, the gutsy script, the acting, they come together to form a snarling beast that's equal parts fright and introspection. Themes of alienation, the snares of sisterhood, and the fucking nightmare that is the transition into adulthood coil together, creating a narrative that stings with its authenticity. The cult status of Ginger Snaps isn't an accident. The film claws its way through the bullshit happy endings we're spoon-fed. There's no knight in gleaming armor here, no last-minute save, just the grim reality that sometimes the monster wins. And when the credits roll, you're left checking over your shoulder, feeling the twinge of excitement and dread because Ginger Snaps doesn't reassure, it unsettles, haunts, and lays claim to a piece of your black and horror-loving heart. Horror movies with something to say always rise above the rest, and Ginger Snaps screams its messages in blood-curdling clarity. It's not just werewolves, it's about the battles we fight within and how sometimes they fucking change us, for better or worse. So there it is, Ginger snaps, holding down the eighth spot with its teeth bared and claws out, a monstrous allegory for the horror of growing up female wrapped up in an unforgiving, snarling package. It's a goddamn tour de force, one that snatches the innocence of werewolf movies and drags it into the dark woods of feminist horror where it fucking belongs. Alright, all you freaky horror hounds, brace yourselves because we're about to tear into number 7 on our list, the gory, gutsy, and downright howling good time that is, Dog Soldiers. This 2002 British horror thriller directed by Neil Marshall roared onto the scene and quickly clawed its way into our rotten hearts. Let's talk about what happens when you mix soldiers, the untamed wilderness of the Scottish Highlands, and a pack of werewolves thirsty for blood. It's like a fucked up game of fetch that goes horribly awry. This film throws us into the thick of the action with a group of British Army lads on a routine training mission in the middle of fucking nowhere, only to find themselves the main course on a werewolf's dinner menu. Marshall's direction is slick as hell, balancing intense, pulse-pounding chaos with those ever-so-delicate moments of dark humor that cut through the terror like a silver bullet. The opening sequence sets the bloody tone for the film with a couple camping in the woods, a mistake so cliché yet, we still get a kick out of it when the creatures make their grand entrance. It's no hold barred from there on out, our boys in camo are in for the fight of their lives. Now, talking about the grit and gristle of the film, the goddamn special effects. There's no pussyfooting around with CGI here, folks. This movie goes balls deep with practical effects. The werewolves themselves are tall, dark, and gruesome, they're not your typical furry friends. These beasts are mutations you'd expect in your worst fucking nightmares, towering over their prey with a presence that sends shivers down your spine. The soldiers, led by the ever-stoic, tough-as-nails Sergeant Harry Wells played by Sean Pertwee and Private Cooper portrayed by Kevin McKidd, are a bunch of rough-and-tumble motherfuckers that you can't help but root for. The chemistry among the cast is electric, with banter as sharp as wolf claws and comedic timing that's spot on. You're in for a ride that's as hilarious as it is harrowing. Now let's talk about that showdown. It's like watching a screwball soccer match where the ball has fangs and the players are armed to the teeth. The soldiers find refuge in a forsaken farmhouse, prepping for a siege that'll have you on the edge of your fucking seat. As night engulfs the sky, the creatures aren't the only thing that's wild. The soldiers, trapped and isolated, show us what true camaraderie means, fighting tooth and nail, quite literally. The tension is thicker than a werewolf's fur, ratcheting up until you're howling for more. And sure as shit, Dog Soldiers hacks a punch with its blood-splattered twists and turns, pulling no punches and going for the jugular. With lines as sharp as, "I hope I give you the shits, you fucking wimp," delivered with a grenade in hand, you're guaranteed an explosive time. It's a film that doesn't just bark, it bites with the ferocity of the untamed beast at its heart. It's pretty clear that Marshall had a vision to create something that ruffled feathers, or should I say, fur. He mixes the brute instincts of survival with the pack instinct of soldiers, making Dog Soldiers a metaphor for the monstrous side of humanity. The film calls out to the primal part of us that wants to fight, to survive, to rip through whatever shit life throws our way, especially if it's got fangs and claws. From start to finish, Dog Soldiers is an unapologetic, brutal, and motherfucking fantastic entry into the werewolf genre. It rewrites the rules of survival horror while tipping its hat to the classics that came howling before it. For anyone who thought werewolf movies had no teeth left, think again. This film is proof that there's still plenty of life in the old dog yet. It's a fiercely entertaining romp through the woods that will make you think twice about going on that camping trip with your buddies. Now, as we catch our breath after that bloody brilliant spectacle, we've still got more snarling creatures lurking ahead with the top six clawing their way toward you. Stick around, you psycho cinema fiends, cause the moon is rising and the beasts are just getting started. The Curse of the Werewolf, a gem from the Hammer Film Productions treasure trove, steps onto our cursed countdown at number 6. Released in 1961, this film scratches that anguished, gothic itch for anyone craving a blend of rich ambiance and tragic storytelling. We're not just shitting around with the usual romp through the woods here, this flick really sinks its fangs into you with its moody setting and operatic storyline. Oliver Reed's portrayal of the ill-fated Leon is one motherfucking masterclass in how to walk the line between man and monster. His transformation from innocent orphan to a tormented werewolf doesn't just happen overnight, it's a curse born out of wedlock and wickedness, setting up a layered character who's both the fucking victim and the villain. Now, every werewolf film worth its silver has to nail the transformation scene, right? The Curse of the Werewolf says, fuck mediocrity, with a wail of agony from Reed as his character morphs into the beast within, skin ripping and fur sprouting all without the help of CGI bullshit. Its practical effects at their gritty best. Makeup and prosthetics that took a painstaking 6 hours to apply. Radiating tangible horror that's rare to match even in today's pussy-ass digital age. Shit, let's talk about direction. Terrence Fisher, the man's a fucking legend. He takes a script that could have easily turned into some hackneyed monster mash and crafts it into a gothic spectacle. The guy's vision is all over the movie, with dramatic lighting and camera angles that grab you by the balls and make you pay attention to the human strife underlying the horror. And the writing, Anthony Hines, under the pseudonym John Elder, penned a story that isn't just another, bitey-bitey, scratchy-scratchy, werewolf yarn. We're dealing with a fucked-up exploration of repression, lust, and the shit that comes from human cruelty. The screenplay doesn't shy away from darker themes, including sexual violence and social hypocrisy, which is pretty ballsy for the time. Not your granny's usual bedtime story, unless your granny was a badass. Then there's the Hammer seal of approval. These are the badass motherfuckers who knew how to do horror with class and bombast. The Curse of the Werewolf didn't just throw up some fake fur and a couple of buckets of blood and call it a day. Oh no, they went all out with grandiose sets and costumes that didn't just say, hey, we're in the past, but you're fucking living it. It's a lush, visual feast, just like sinking your teeth into a rare, bloody steak. But let's not forget the cultural footprint this son of a bitch left behind. It's one thing to have a balls-to-the-wall werewolf roaming the English countryside, and quite another to leave an imprint on the genre itself. Hammer Films' take on the werewolf legend pivots from American influences and gives us a uniquely European flavor, one that's steeped in history, laced with class issues, and rich with that intoxicating British folklore vibe. Sadly, The Curse of the Werewolf would be the one and only werewolf film put out by Hammer, which is a damn shame. With its deep story, strong acting, and top-notch effects, the film had the ingredients to spawn a litter of sequels. But just like a lycanthropic bloodline cut tragically short, so was the lineage of Hammer's werewolf films cut the fuck off after just one flick. Could you imagine what we might have had if Hammer had turned this into a franchise? More furry carnage, more moonlit melodrama, more Oliver Reed terrifying the living shit out of Victorian villagers. But alas, it wasn't meant to be, and The Curse of the Werewolf remains a singular, striking depiction of monstrous transformation and heart-wrenching horror. When the credits roll on this badass flick, you're left feeling like you've just witnessed something special, something that doesn't come howling out of the fog but once in a blue fucking moon. It's gothic horror with teeth, a werewolf movie with soul, and for us horror lovers, it's a motherfucking full moon feast. Night is descending, and our journey into the dark heart of werewolf lore is only getting wilder, bloodier, and more bitchin'. Stay with us, horror hounds. The moon's not yet at its peak, and the beasts are still hungry. There's more primal, fur-flying terror to come. Slide into the hauntingly beautiful dreamscape of Neil Jordan's The Company of Wolves, listeners, because at number 5, things get gothic, mystical, and straight-up strange. Chock full of eerie imagery, this film weaves the grim threads of werewolf mythology with the chilling tapestry of Red Riding Hood, making for one hell of a twisted fairy tale. Let's take a deep, dark dive into the woods of this 1984 cult classic, where not only the wolves bark at the moon. Jordan, who directs and co-writes with Angela Carter, author of the source material, pulls us into a dream world where the real and the imagined bleed together like victims of a wolf's vicious bite. It's a heady mix of horror, fantasy, and a dash of psychosexual drama, shaken, not stirred. We kick off with our protagonist, teenage Rosaline, who's lost in slumber's grip, whisking us away to a medieval village. It's a place whispering with old wives' tales of beastly beings and innocent maidens. This is not your kid's bedtime story, motherfuckers. Instead, it's a sumptuous, visually rich feast, brimming with foreshadowing and symbolism that'll have you reaching for your college lit textbook. Fasten your seatbelts. Shit's about to get real when Gran, played by Angela Lansbury, sets the stage with cautionary tales that are more fucked up than your last Tinder date. She warns of men whose eyebrows meet and how one stray bite can doom your soul to a hairy hell. It's all cloaks, claws, and creepy vibes as Rosaline discovers her womanhood, which in this world means navigating a forest full of horned up werewolves. The special effects are deliciously dated, but don't let their retro charm fool you. The transformations from man to beast aren't just gimmicks, they're harrowing metamorphoses that will have you thanking the moon you're safely on the other side of the screen. As skin tears and paws emerge, you feel every goddamn second of their bone-crunching metamorphosis. The cast sinks their teeth into their roles, with a young Sarah Patterson as Rosaline, embodying the mix of naivete and awakening hunger with a grace that belies her inexperience. And let's not forget the rogues gallery of big bad wolves, including one seductively devilish turn by Micah Burgess. The guy gives a whole new meaning to the term animal magnetism. The Company of Wolves ain't just a freaky fairy tale, it's a parable draped in red velvet, exploring themes of desire, fear, and the treacherous path to adulthood. Teenage angst has never looked more feral, and your inner psych major will be jizzing itself analyzing every frame. Neil Jordan's direction is like a carefully choreographed waltz with the macabre. He invites you to dance through this fever dream where every step is heavy with dread and wonder. Each scene is a lush painting come to life, a tableau vivant that makes your skin crawl with delight. Some might say this film's paced like a somnolent stroll through the woods, but the patient viewer is rewarded. Patience, after all, is a virtue, especially when it teases out moments of beauty in the grotesque. Fuck, if there's one thing, The Company of Wolves does with abandon, it's milking every ounce of atmosphere and squeezing tension out of folkloric stones we thought were long since dry. The movie won't just haunt your dreams, it crashes your subconscious like a wrecking ball decked out in Grandma's nightie. It sticks with you, clinging to your thoughts like fur on a blood-soaked pelt. And it wouldn't be a proper mindfuck without a dose of ambiguity. The end will fuck up your sense of closure as Rosaline's tale spins to a halt, leaving you to wonder where dreams end and reality begins. To hell with the vanilla werewolf fare that's all bark and no bite. The Company of Wolves throws you a gnarled, thorny bone that tastes of hardcore horror allure. So, let's give it up for a movie that defies the fucking genre, that spits in the face of conventional storytelling and howls at the moon with gothic abandon. There you have it, folks, number 5 on our shit-hot list of werewolf wonders. The Company of Wolves is a beautifully fucked up tribute to the wild, wicked, and woolly side of our imaginations. It's storytime reimagined, a reminder that the pack of childhood fears still prowl in the deep, dark woods of our minds. In the gritty urban sprawl of the Bronx, Wolfen sinks its teeth into the werewolf genre with a fiercely original twist. Director Michael Wadley trades the traditional lore for something more primal, more intelligent. This isn't just about a monster lurking in the dark, it's about the heart of humanity clashing with the spirits of ancient predators. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The opening scene sets the tone with a gruesome, spine-chilling murder that screams, "What the fuck?" It's not just any kill. It's savage, precise, and it's got the police scrambling to put the bloody pieces together. Enter Detective Dewey Wilson. He's not just some run-of-the-mill cop. He's fucking haunted, with a face that's seen far too much shit. As bodies pile up and the mystery deepens, Wolfen drags us through a social commentary that's hard to miss. The film presents a motherfuck of a question: who are the real monsters? The werewolves are us, struggling communities bulldozed for shiny new skyscrapers, the rich pissing from their penthouses, all while something wild and resentful watches from the rotting underbelly. Alright, let's rip into the actors. Albert Finney as Dewey is nothing short of magnetic. He's a broken man, trying to make sense of a world gone mad, and you can't help but ride shotgun on his hellish journey. And Diane Venora, goddammit, she's seductive as Rebecca, an enigmatic psychologist who adds a layer of intellectual foreplay to the mix. The way she and Finney play off each other, it's like watching a duet in a symphony of suspense. Then there's Edward James Olmos, as the Native American activist Eddie. Olmos is raw and unflinching. In one fucked up scene, he's stark naked, blood-curdling, convincing the fuck out of you that he's turned wolf. It's a powerful display of primal transformation without resorting to furry prosthetics and fangs. That's the beauty of Wolfen. It uses the werewolf theme as a metaphor for the disenfranchised, the forgotten stewards of the land we're shitting all over. Now take a hell of a bow for the special effects. Before CGI became the bitch of Hollywood, Wolfen pulls off fear-inducing visuals with in-camera tricks and chilling sound design. You feel those wolves lurking in the shadows with every heartbeat and breath on the back of your neck. And that thermographic vision, goddamn brilliant. It puts you behind the hunger-filled eyes of the predator, and it's fucking genius. The director uses every cinephile's trick in the fucking book. Dutch angles, jarring cuts, half shots, they all drag you into this beastly whodunit, leaving you unsure if you want to solve the mystery or become part of it. That's Wolfen for you. It doesn't just want to scare the shit out of you. It wants you to fucking think, to look deep into the mirror and ask yourself, what kind of beast are you? Capped off with a haunting score by James Horner, Wolfen is a cinematic pursuit that gnaws at the nerves. From the desolate urban landscapes to the abstract dread that clings to every frame, the film doesn't just serve you the expected werewolf shenanigans on a silver platter. It serves up a bloody steak tartare of psychological horror and cryptic mysticism. As the film prowls toward its climax, it becomes clear that it's not just serving up jump scares and gore. It's diving deep into the struggle for identity, the clash of the old world and the new, and the invisible wars waged in the forgotten fringes of our cities. Wolfen may not be your mother's werewolf movie, but it sure as hell leaves its mark as one of the most thought-provoking. So, to all you motherfuckers out there who want a werewolf flick that tears into the fabric of society, it's time to get back to the Bronx and let Wolfen bite you right in the ass. When it comes to the bone-chilling, hair-raising, and goddamn terrifying world of werewolf flicks, no list worth its fucking salt can snub the 1941 classic, The Wolfman. Here we are, at number 3 in our savage countdown, ready to sink our teeth into the movie that embodied the supernatural horror of its time and left a legacy that would last for fucking decades. Now, the fucked up beauty of the wolf man is in how it coils around that dark side we all skirt around and whispers those ancient myths straight into our primal fears. That's right, this perverse piece of cinema goes for the jugular with its storytelling, and holy shit does it do it well. Led by the enigmatic and rugged Lon Chaney Jr., the wolf man introduces us to Larry Talbot, a character whose transformation into the howling, moon-fearing beast isn't just a visual feast, it's a gut-wrenching look at the inner turmoil that comes with being cursed with a fucking furry alter ego. Chaney Jr. delivers a powerhouse performance, lacing his portrayal with a humanity that damn near makes your heart bleed for the guy. His ability to evoke both sympathy and horror as a son of a bitch that makes you root for, and shit bricks over, his character in equal measure. The direction and writing in this bitch are nothing short of brilliant. Director George Wagner and writer Kurt Siodmak don't just throw a monster on screen, they delve deep into the folklore, giving us a backstory laden with the kind of ominous shit that keeps you up at night. This ain't just about a monster, it's about fate, tragedy, and the inescapable curse of being a goddamned outcast. The fucking magic of the wolf man also lies in its ability to make 1941 special effects look like they're worth a damn. Yes, by today's standards, it might seem quaint, but the craftsmanship is killer. The transformative power of makeup artist Jack Pierce is a sight to behold as he morphs Chaney Jr. from man to monster with nothing more than grease paint and yak hair. This shit took hours to apply, but the result is so convincing, it'll make your skin crawl. The fog-enveloped woods, the growling soundtrack, every aesthetic choice feeds into the atmosphere, making every twist of the film feel like a night terror you can't shake. The wolf man didn't just fuck around and become a staple in monster movie history. Oh no, it set a template for all the werewolf tales that followed. It was a pioneer, showing what could be done with the right mixture of acting chops, a gripping narrative, and makeup wizardry capable of transforming man into myth. It got into our heads, folks, tapping into that deliciously macabre fascination with beasts and what lurks in the dark corners of the human psyche. It's hard to overstate the influence this motherfucker of a film has had on the horror genre as a whole. The flick didn't just stand the test of time, it twisted and gnarled its way deep into pop culture, making the werewolf a mainstay of horror fiction. It's been referenced, parodied, and paid homage to in countless other works because let's face it, nobody fucking forgets the first time they witnessed Lon Chaney Jr. strapped into that chair, watching his feet morph into paws, his face contort, and his eyes scream bloody murder, even if he can't. When you hear the film's famous line, "Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright," you can't help but feel like you've been cursed too, cursed with an insatiable hunger for more of this lycanthropic shit. You'd sell your soul for one more hit of this unadulterated, dark fantasy. In short, The Wolf Man is the true Og of werewolf flicks. This isn't just some fuck-around film that pulled a good trick, it's a bona fide, straight-up marvel that has stood the motherfucking test of time. It's a piece of cinematic history that makes you want to howl at the moon in sheer awe of its brilliance. Any horror hound or movie buff with half a brain knows the debt we owe to The Wolf Man. It's why every serious list of the best werewolf movies is worth its weight in silver bullets. So there you have it, fuckers, at number 3, the timeless terror, The Wolf Man, proving that after more than 80 fucking years, some monsters just never die. Alright, horror hounds and fright freaks, get ready to sink your teeth into the juicy jugular of our next full moon feature at number 2, The Howling Good, The Howling. Directed by the master of macabre, Joe Dante, this 1981 gem redefined not just the werewolf movie, but the entire fucking genre of horror with its groundbreaking special effects, a bitching soundtrack, and a story that'll make your skin crawl. Let's start with the plot that kicks so much ass, it might just rip yours off. Our lead, Karen White, played by the insanely talented Dee Wallace, is a news anchor who's being stalked by a serial killer. Sounds run-of-the-mill, right, wrong, motherfuckers. After a near-death encounter with this psycho, Karen heads for the hills, or more specifically, the colony, to recover from her trauma. This is where shit hits the fan, and let me tell ya, it's not just fur that's flying. Hidden in this seemingly serene and picturesque retreat lies a secret that would make you want to lock yourself up during a full moon. This movie doesn't just bark, it bites, with state-of-the-art makeup effects that still look fucking phenomenal to this day. The transformation scenes, holy shit, they are, without a doubt, some of the most iconic moments in werewolf cinema. It's not just some asshole with pointy teeth and a hairy face. We're talking about bone-crunching, skin-ripping metamorphosis that had audiences shitting bricks back in the 80s and still packs a punch. Props to the amazing Rob Bodden, who created these monstrous marvels at the tender age of 21. This movie said, fuck you, to the idea of using cheap tricks and instead paved the way for the FX extravaganzas we see today. Then there's the cast, a freaking who's who of genre legends. I already mentioned Dee Wallace, queen of the screamers, who gives a performance so believable you'll want to howl in sympathy. But the whole pack shines here. Patrick McNee nails it as Dr. Wagner, the leader who's a little too vested in the concept of the free beast. Every scene oozes tension, and the cast delivers with such conviction that you can't help but invest in their lycanthropic plight. The direction, Joe Dante brings it all home with his trademark mix of terror and tongue-in-cheek humor. The man who later gave us Gremlins knows exactly when to terrify the shit out of you and when to let you breathe with a laugh, only to punch you straight in the gut with yet another scare. The Howling is his bitchin' love letter to horror fans, one that's filled with in-jokes and Easter eggs that are sure to leave diehards howling with delight. And the cherry on top, the writing, baby, based on Gary Brandner's novel, the screenplay by John Sayles and Terrence H. Winkless doesn't just settle for cheap thrills. It's layered with social commentary about our inner beasts and what it means to let them loose. It's the kind of smart scripting that treats the audience like the clever cunts we are, asking us not just to scream, but to think. The Howling also presents a uniquely disturbing and seductive aspect of werewolf lore. It's sexual, it's violent, and it's fucking unapologetic about it. Amidst the carnage and chaos, Dante somehow captures the tragic allure of the werewolf legend, that terrifying dichotomy of man versus monster, civilization versus wild abandon. It's that depth that secures, The Howling, a spot so far up on this goddamn good list. By the time the credits roll on this film, you're left not only entertained but transformed, much like the unlucky bastards in The Colony. That's the power of a film that doesn't just play with your expectations but mauls the fuckers to death. So, friends and fiends, if you haven't already bared witness to the glorious gore fest that is The Howling, then it's time to let the beast out. Watch it, revel in its bloody brilliance, and remember, when you hear The Howling winds on a dark night, it just might be your cue to start running. Because number two on our list isn't just a fucking great werewolf flick, it's a milestone in horror cinema that doesn't pussyfoot around when it comes to delivering scares. Get ready to unleash the animal within, bitches. Alright, horror hounds, it's time to crown the absolute king of werewolf cinema, and what a fucking howler of a film it is. Topping our blood-soaked list of lycanthropic nightmares is none other than An American Werewolf in London, the 1981 masterpiece directed by the one and only John Landis. This isn't just a movie, it's a goddamn transformative experience, mixing in rib-tickling comedy with spine-chilling horror in a way that leaves you both laughing your ass off and pissing your pants in fear. It scoffs in the face of traditionalists and, with its gory paws, rips open the belly of the genre to spill the guts of what modern monster movies should be all about. First up, let's dig our claws into that iconic transformation scene. Picture this. David Naughton's body convulsing, bones stretching, skin tearing, fuck me, it's a tour de force in the world of special effects. What the legendary Rick Baker pulls off here earned him an Oscar. Yes, my creepy compadres, the first ever Academy Award for Best Makeup, and holy hell, did he deserve it. The scene is raw, violent, and painfully real. It's not just good, it's motherfucking artistry. Landis directs this beast with a masterful hand. His vision ensures that the flick isn't just another schlocky creature feature. No sir, it's smart, it's witty, it's got shots that make your hair stand on end and scenes that make you chuckle despite the creeping dread. This motherfucker knows how to balance tone like a goddamn tightrope walker at a creepy-ass carnival, swaying between horror and comedy without missing a beat. And get a load of this, the story isn't just some half-assed excuse to show a guy turning into a wolf. It's a poignant tale of a man trapped in a cycle of violence and terror. David Kessler's journey, from his attack on the moors to his final, hard-wrenching moments, resonates deep down in our primal fear centers. All the while, Landis is pulling the strings like a maestro, making you laugh at a dick joke 1 second and covering your eyes the next. Props also to Jenia Gutter, who portrays the nurse with a heart just as golden as her hair. Her relationship with David adds the perfect spice of humanity and provides a tender counterpoint to the gut-ripping, throat-tearing terror. And let's not forget Griffin Dunne as Jack Goodman, the best undead wingman a newly-turned werewolf could ask for. His decaying visage is both a technical marvel and a testament to the black humor that underscores this blood-curdling bonanza. Now, a fucking standing ovation for that soundtrack, each song carefully selected with Moon in the title. It's cheeky, sure, but Landis ain't playing, he's curating. From Blue Moon to Bad Moon Rising, every track hammers home the theme like a stake through a vampire's heart. What an American Werewolf in London did back then, it still does now, it sets the goddamn benchmark. It ain't just showing you a monster, it's giving you the full, human tragedy wrapped in a shroud of mist and moonlight. It's dishing out belly laughs with a side order of existential dread. It's not just a beast lurking in the dark, it's the shadow in all of us, waiting for the full moon to reveal the horrors we can become. So, fuck yes, this is the granddaddy of them all, a full moon, blood-soaked symphony of horror and humor that holds its reign as the best goddamn werewolf movie ever made. Landis and his crew delivered a hairy, scary, hilarious monster mash that continues to outshine and outgore the pack. It's a film that embraces every aspect of the werewolf mythos while tearing it to fucking shreds to create something altogether new and savage. It's An American Werewolf in London. And if you call yourself a horror fan but haven't seen this masterpiece, do yourself a favor and sink your teeth into it. It's a cinematic feast that's as deliciously fresh today as it was over 40 years ago. John Landis, Rick Baker, David Naden, Jenia Gutter, and Griffin Dunne, you crazy bastards, we salute you. Your creation stands tall, snarling and unapologetic, a testament to the transformative power of horror. And that, my fiendish friends, is why An American Werewolf in London devours the competition to sit at the bloody throne of werewolf royalty. Stay creepy, motherfuckers. All right, ghoulish gang, that's a wrap on today's toothy torrent of terror. We sank our claws deep into the dark, furry heart of lycanthrope cinema, bearing the bones of the top 10 beastly werewolf movies that have left their claw marks on the silver screen. But before we shut the crypt on this episode, let me sink my fangs into what's coming up. Down the road, we're gonna flip the script from hairy to scary, swapping out our werewolves for the blood-sucking, cape-fluttering, fang-flashing children of the night. Yes, you guessed it, we'll be exploring the vaults for the best and worst vampire films that have ever dared to darken our doorsteps. Now, I wanna hear that howl from all of you out there too. Have a bloody good suggestion. Want to share the screams? Then carve your thoughts into the digital tombstone using hashtag The Horror Report and hashtag Dr. Golula on social media. Your foul and fiendish feedback could spark the next nightmare-inducing natter right here. And if you're a bit more of the solitary, crypt-dwelling type, you can shoot a sinister email to thehorrorreport@gmail.com. It might just be the thing that stirs up the next ghastly gabfest. Now, the moon is high, and it's time for me, your ghost host with the most, Dr. Golula, to bid you a fiendish farewell. But fear not, my night-crawling connoisseurs of the creepy, we'll be back soon, digging up more morbid morsels to feast your ears upon. Future episodes will dare to dissect haunted locations, spine-chilling folklore, and, if you're not squeamish, the goriest kills to ever splatter across horror history. Which grisly theme would you kill to hear next? Send in your cryptic clues and we'll stitch together a show that will resurrect your love for horror, one scream at a time. Will we venture into the mists of haunted graveyards or explore the twisted minds behind horror's most infamous baddies? The choice is yours, just don't keep it buried. So keep the holy water handy, cuddle up to your cursed object of choice, and whatever you do, don't forget to bolt the door against the things that lurk in the shadows. Until next time, remember to keep one eye open when you sleep, and always, always stay creepy, motherfuckers.